بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We began the discussion on the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hafiz. Al-Hafiz, as we mentioned before, with the big ha. We call it big ha and small ha. So Al-Hafiz with the big ha and Allah at the end. Al-Hafiz. We say Ya Hafizu, Ya Hafizu, Fi Hifzillah. حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى. So pronunciation also is important. That we say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. Some people have very particular about presentation, grammar. So just as important is tajweed of Quran Sharif also. And how we take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we take it correctly, that we call unto Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by His beautiful names, that means of which our du'as will be accepted. And we call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name in the correct manner also. Ya Hafizu. The one that is a protector, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that takes care of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a whole system of protection. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects this insan. Whole system Allah ta'ala has put into place. This has to do with iman. If iman is worked upon, then we'll understand, we'll realize how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects me. Even I can't protect myself. I don't have the ability to take care of anything of my own. Many a time you say, it's my life. It's my life. But then Hazrat says, if it's your life, it's your body, I'll do as I wish to. And now when the stomach is, when the tummy is running, he says, sort out your tummy. Look after it. I say, I can't. I got a splitting headache. Take care of it. Can't do anything about it. Like this medication, that medication. Allah shows you that you are ajiz. You are ajiz, you are absolutely helpless. And it's impossible for you to escape Allah, to make Allah helpless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's looking after your entire system within your body. In Arabic, they call it ad-dunya as-saghira. The little dunya that's operating within your body. Doctors will tell you how everything is happening, the heart is beating. There's no charging, there's no type C or micro something that you got to plug. Now the heart must carry on pumping. Hazrat says, look at Allah Ta'ala, how He's preserved insan. So that one drop of semen from there, which is just a drop only, from there Allah Ta'ala took out the material of the skull, which is so hard. And the same material, the same drop, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala took out the material for the eyelids, which is so soft. Just for the fingers, Allah Ta'ala took out the material, the fingertip is so soft. You can feel, you can touch, heat, cold. But the fingernail is so hard. All just from one drop. Allah's qudrat. How Allah Ta'ala takes care of all of this. And Allah Ta'ala فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. Allah Ta'ala made you in perfection. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, when it comes to how insan, Allah Ta'ala designed him, we have no say in it. When it comes to my own teeth, when it comes to my limbs also, when it comes to my nose, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has a limit. And some things is no limit. When it comes to the nails, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows that to continue growing. Imagine now, Hazrat says, Allah ta'ala allowed the teeth to grow like that. See, you can't go for proposal also. Imagine you smile at her, and she smiles at you, you're both to run away from one another. And then Hazrat says, now imagine now with that size of teeth that don't stop growing, and now he says, is kosher the first night scene. He says, now how are you going to make muhabbat also? Your teeth will get in the way. That you can't even kiss your wife also. But the teeth is gone so big. Allah Ta'ala says, no. It will grow within your mouth proportionately. That too you don't control. That too, the most you can do now, and that too, how much of care we take only of the teeth. From the time the child is born, you are an infant toothbrush, an infant type toothpaste also, and then burglar guards and the rest of it, and the braces. Just only the teeth. But who gave the teeth? That we forget. But we tell the, as I say, we tell the dentist, thanks a million. Now I can smile. But the one that gave you the teeth, the one that's taking care of you. So the hair Allah Ta'ala allows to grow. Imagine the skull, Allah Ta'ala allowed the skull to carry on growing also. How insan would look? He can't carry his head then. 50, 60 years old, how big his head will be? He should drive a taxi after that. He won't put in his own car. Hazrat says, imagine the ears, Allah Ta'ala has allowed the ears to grow. He says, even the elephant will feel shy for you. But the elephant has such big ears, he'll feel shy. Insan, so big ears you got. But Allah Ta'ala made insan so perfect, and that Allah Ta'ala didn't make the ear so small, like just one dot or something, and the nose so big. But everything is so perfect about insan that when you look in the mirror, don't forget your dua. Allahumma anta hasanta khalqi. Oh Allah, you beautified my outer appearance. Fahassin khuluqi. So Allah, beautify my akhlaq and character also. You made me so beautiful. Externally, outwardly. And this also, we find shaitan took a promise. Shaitan took a promise to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامُ لَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. That I will always make insan to feel that he's not or she's not beautiful enough. How Allah Ta'ala made you, is that good enough? So I will make the effort, فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, that definitely they will want to change the creation of Allah. How Allah Ta'ala made her or made him, won't be happy, won't see my eye color. This shows great ingratitude to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. That I want to change how my eyes are. I want to change my complexion. Everything is makeup. Here Hazrat says to this, makeup is such a deception. And we know to deceive is haram. But it's a deception. Boy went to see the girl. And now he thought what he saw was real. Hazrat says that typically now in the Western world, Western culture, the male has to study, she has to study, has to get his degree. Now they're going out and they're courting. Not ready for marriage, they said, I'll get my PhD, and then my master's, and then this. And she said, I also got to get, I'm a career woman. Then they're going out and going out. Finally, they get married. He's over 40, she's hitting her 40s. As I said, now we open the bedroom scene, but it's above board. Now the nikah got made finally, after all those years, he finished all his hobbies and everything. She took all her degrees and everything. So now they're meeting for the first night after nikah took place. And she tells him, excuse me, my husband, I just need to go to the bathroom. So he goes, she goes to the bathroom. He goes, he's dressing up also. She comes out. He can't recognize her. She can't recognize him. She doesn't know who she married. He doesn't know who he married. See what happened. He asked, where's your blonde hair? She does a wig. I lost my hair a long time ago. All the chemicals, treatments I did. Said, where's the green eyes? It was contacts. What happened? You don't have teeth. It was dentures. She asked him, but you got a plastic, look what happened. So I was racing cars, motorbike, had an accident. I said, your teeth, same story also. He says, and your hair? He says, problem, same problem. Went to Turkey, didn't work out also, the hair. Came back. Wasted so much of money. Brother says, the reality is now the whole Western culture, Hazrat's words. He says, you got two scraps in the scrap yard, what are you going to do now? The Jawani is finished. They didn't protect their youth. They didn't protect their eyes. They didn't protect their heart. They didn't protect the commands of Allah. Life got wasted. And they thought that was life. But all deception. All thing was a lie and deception. It wasn't reality. It wasn't true. True life is the life of Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lives of Sahaba. When you hear about the lives of Sahaba, it gives life to the heart. The heart becomes alive. Hasan Basri will say, Rahmatullah alayhi, Tanzilu rahmatu inda dhikri salihin. When the salihin and pious are mentioned, Allah's rahmat comes down. Not only talk about footballers and how much they got sold for, how much they got bought for, it shows how cheap they are. The commodities of the world. The commodities of the world. People are just playing with them like that is the price. Iman, you can't put price to it. Nobody can buy it. But people of Iman have made them their imams, unfortunately. So this whole protection, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala protects. So shaitan took this promise and qasam, oh Allah, definitely I will influence insan to change his outer appearance. So Nabi alayhi salatu salam, in ahadith, so many riwayat, Allah's curse upon the one that tattoos, the one that makes the tattoo also. Allah ta'ala's curse upon that one that joins hair to hair, like how you find people do. Hair joins whatever, they join hair to the wig is something else now. But where they join the hair, that's human hair. So all these things are impermissible. So all these things, Nabi Ali says, already warned us. Don't change what Allah Ta'ala has made you. Allah Ta'ala has made you perfectly. Allah designed you. Don't show ingratitude to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. But the whole move is this way now. Make yourself up. The people can't even recognize you. But the husband also, as we mentioned now, when he sees her, after the nikah, the makeup is out, he can't even recognize her also. So the whole thing is to lead a real life. A real life, the commands of Allah, there's only sukoon in there. There's only sukoon in there because the world fashion will not change, it will continue. An old Jamaat worker came from Bombay some time ago. I mentioned this many a times. He says, came to the 70s, I changed my whole wardrobe. There's a certain type of pants. This is big bell-bottom pants. He said, came the 80s and the fashion changed again to corduroys and then safari suits. Every time I had to change it. He said, finally Jamaat Saatis came and they took me out in the path of Allah. From that time, I'm wearing my kafan, a white kurta. Never changed again, alhamdulillah. He said, till mot, inshallah, this will be my clothing. The sunnah of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, I was chasing this actor, that singer, all fake life. They themselves also had to take medication to sleep at night. And I was following them. Then I realized when I moved in the path of Allah, they say, I have nothing to sleep. Alhamdulillah, the sleep just comes anytime, anywhere. Eat anytime, anywhere, and sleep also. Alhamdulillah, it comes in tahajjud too, already awake. Back on amal. It became a real life. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan, how beautifully, Hazrat says, to look at our children and grandchildren, how beautiful Allah Pak has made them. Allah, ya Qudrat. How you made everything so beautifully? Allah's perfect system is in operation. So this Allah Ta'ala shows in His sifat and His attribute and His power of hifazat and protection. Allah Ta'ala has protected everything around us. More than that, you ask. Scientists will tell you how many bugs and insects and germs and bacteria around in the universe, in the atmosphere. That they're waiting to attack all the time. As I mentioned ahead also. Waiting to attack. Allah Ta'ala has now the good soldiers. And then you have the bad soldiers. The whole now battle is on all the time. Who's going to protect you from the virus? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah jalla jalaluhu. Imagine now a young boy whose father protects him, mother protects him. But when he falls down, now he runs to a domestic. Mother says, come to me. He says, I want to go to her. How would the mother feel? But I'm your mother. But he runs to the helper. In the same way, Allah says, run to me. We're running away from Allah. The mother can't say go. Mother said, go. Don't come by me. But Allah doesn't say go, don't come by me. Allah said, I'm still waiting for you. I'm still waiting for you. Although you ran away, I'm still waiting for you. Although you changed, you didn't protect my commands, you ran away, but I'm still waiting. But we won't tolerate it also. My son now has to disobey me, or go to somebody else for help, or ask somebody else, whereas I'm there to do everything for him. You're an insult that you went to tell somebody else about our condition. Whereas you should come to me and ask. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also very sensitive. That Allah ta'ala protects so much, Allah ta'ala takes care of us so much, but we go to everyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala's system is perfect, Allah ta'ala's security system within insan, his dunya saghira, the little universe that's continuing within himself. Who guides the food down the pipe? There's no one there. The most we do is pick up the food, put in the mouth. And here Hazrat has a point also. He said, when it comes to our food, be careful what we're eating. Be careful what we're eating. We are so enticed by food only. And eating out is only, he says, 5 to maybe 8 to 10 centimeter tongue possibly. And for how many seconds the taste remains on the tongue? Hardly. But just for a little few minutes of enjoyment, I'm prepared to give up my iman. Just for that little bit. Just with the tongue. There's nothing else. The body is not enjoying it. It's just the tongue that's enjoying it. But the tongue now takes us way and way. We have to taste this. We have to try this. We have to do this. We have to go out to try it. Just for a few moments, it's on the tongue and it's down. But then to Allah Ta'ala allows the food to go down the right pipe. Then to digest also. Then you must isha salat. Allah says, oh, carry on. Possibly. He'll come back to me. So the amazing and inexplicable ways of protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Hafiz. Every person is forced to admit that there is some being protecting us with regards to our worldly matters and our spirituality. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here speaking about is changing the creation of Allah. Changing the creation of Allah. Allah has given us a perfect role model in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Perfect. There's nothing more perfect, more beautiful. If anything seems more beautiful than the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, his mannerism, his way, his akhlaq, his hair, his outer appearance. If anything seems more attractive to me, then I've got to check my iman. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned explicitly, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. First hadith. Second hadith. لا يؤمن أحدكم. Two hadiths. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that you cannot be a perfect believer. حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. That you cannot have perfect iman until I am more beloved to you بوالده than your parents and your children and entire mankind. I must be more beloved to you. Everything about me must be most beloved to you. Otherwise you don't have iman, perfect iman. Second hadith, you cannot be a perfect believer until your inside desires are not subjugated and not in accordance to what I have brought. Is that in accordance to that, coinciding and agreeing to what I have brought from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then your iman is not perfect. Then your iman is not perfect. Your investment, your iman is not bringing profits, is that dividends, you're running at a loss. So myself, my family, my children, anything we do, whether we are going shopping, whether we are taking the chai for a haircut, whatever, what was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How did he do it? That is the most perfect way, the most beautiful way. Anything else is not perfect and beautiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though we may say beautiful, to Allah isn't beautiful. The one that is the creator of beauty. We worried about design and name and fashion. That one's design is something else. That designer, that fashion maker, whatever it may be. The divine designer is Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. If that is attractive to Allah, Allah is the designer. Allah is the designer, not some insan. There is always changing. Allah has one perfect design till Qiyamah. That's how it will be. That's why Hazrat Hakim Sahib will say, Rahmatullah Alayhi, don't make an effort to become an advanced Jannati. Don't make effort to become advanced Jannati. You think, what's advanced Jannati? See, in Jannah there's no beard. In dunya, keep beard. Don't become Jannati before you reach there. Over there, you keep the beard. There, you won't have a beard. Then in Jannah, now you all will be the age of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, 33. He says, don't become advanced Jannati that you act like a young man still. You go on old now. Mature up a little bit. Your hairstyle, your way, your destiny, you're past 33 now. So prepare for your qabr. So many things now will become advanced Jannatis. The time will come when you will reach there. But right now, just like an ummati, just like an ummati, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you a Jannati. But you will act like a Jannati now, they can have only hurzi one, and do as he wishes to, and eat and drink as he wishes to, fulfill his desires. There's a place to do it, not dunya. So here you can't live that life over here and think, now I'm going to go to Jannat. Over here there are restrictions, protection of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will give you the Jannat also. So this promise shaitan has taken. Well, now we know the amount of influence in the world when it comes to all these extras. The one hadith Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi, who wrote this kitab Abu Dawud Sharif that we study in the final year in the Alim course, among the six authentic hadith kitabs. So he says that there are four hadiths that encapsulate the entire deen and sharia. Four hadiths. That if you make amal upon them, you have the whole of sharia more or less. And among them he says, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. That all actions are based upon the intentions. Intention is the most important thing. What's the niyat, intention? What is the catalyst? What is the spark behind your amal? That's the most important thing. Even for iman, a person is accepting Islam. More than accepting Islam is the sincerity behind it. What is your niyat? Because that Islam can be hypocrisy also. So the niyat. Second hadith he mentions, which is pertinent to what we're discussing now, he says, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ مَرْئِي تَرْقُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. And the beauty of a man's Islam, and the beauty, we all want beauty. Women all want beauty. They want to make the children beautiful also. The house is beautiful. The car, everything they want. We want beauty. And definitely. Hadith Sharif says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلُ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah is beautiful. Allah loves beauty. What's beauty to Allah? The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the most beautiful thing. And that person brings in his life, Allah will make him a beautiful person. Allah will give him inner beauty. He says the beauty of a man's Islam is that he abandons, leaves out those things that don't concern him. Doesn't concern me, that's the beauty of Islam. There are less extra things in my life. Less extra things. Hazrat gives many examples. I was now to understand something like the cell phone. So many extra things we have on it which you don't need. Got nothing to do with our dunya and akhirat also. Oh, it's destroying our akhirat. I don't need it. Whether it's these apps we hear nowadays about was asking the boys today, so they gave me a whole list of things. TikTok and Snapchat and Facebook and what are the things they told me today? I don't remember all the names too. It's just, it's nothing to do with your life really. It's just layani. And the beauty of your Islam is you don't get involved in these things. I don't need it. Whether it be sports or so, it's nothing to do with my akhirat. Nothing at all. For that we look in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that how they gave their lives in the path of Allah, what sacrifices, the qurbani they gave. Imam Ghazali says, rahmatullah alayh, if the Sahaba of Badr have to be resurrected today, they left their homes to go and loot Abu Sufyan's caravan. 313. No weapons. Hardly any conveyances. It was a quick safar. Go loot and come back. The tables turned around. Musallis were 300, 330 maybe. Or Isha Namaz, whatever it may be. Then you got 1,000 waiting outside for us. We can imagine now what will happen. Sahaba Ikram and no equipment. And those outside now are equipped to the teeth. Oh my Sahaba, you're ready to go ahead. We're ready to move. Yawm al-Furqan, Allah calls the day of Badr, the day of Furqan. Allah Ta'ala decided between haqq and batil, falsehood and truth, on these 330 sahaba ikram. What they must have had, they had children, they had families, they had properties, they had orchards, they had businesses, they had everything. This is a no return tashkil. We're moving ahead. We're not going back to say, last salam. We're going ahead. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, if Allah has to give life to those Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they remember when they went in the battlefield, they went to preserve, they went to be hifazat of deen Islam, not just for themselves. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua that night. He cried so much, Abu Bakr who says, Nabi of Allah cried, he had his shawl over his shoulders. And finally he raised his hands to the sky. You could see the whiteness of his armpits. And the shawl fell off his shoulders. Pleading to Allah, he said, I picked up the shawl and put it back onto his shoulders. I said, O Nabi of Allah, enough now. And he made dua. Allahumma intahlik hadil isaba. Ya Allah, if this group of my sahaba ikram have to be destroyed tomorrow in the battlefield, lam tu'bad. Ya Allah, you'll never be worshipped on the earth again. Islam will be finished. On the small group of sahaba. So they went in the battlefield for iman to reach the last person before the day of qiyamah. That is where their nazar and their glance and their vision was. Till the day of Qiyamah, they are going to give our life. Imam Ghazali says, those Sahaba Ikram have to be resurrected in our zamana, our period of time. And they have to roam the earth. He says, they will ask Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Ya Allah, there's no Muslims in the world. He says, they'll see us, they won't even regard us to be Muslims. He says, What are you all doing to the deen? Our Masturat and our ladies are sitting at home, not sure that we are coming back or not. We were preparing for the iddat already. Husband, this is called intelligence. The men are moving ahead. Whether he's going to come back tonight, I don't know. We can imagine what's going on in Madina Munawwara during these nights of Badr. There's only 313 against 1,000. And they know this kuffar of Makkah. How violent they were. So they were usually sitting at home. What's going to happen? So he says they made the ultimate sacrifice for the Ummah till Qiyamah. And now the same sacrifice is being trampled upon by the Masturat and the ladies of the Ummah in the name of feminism. We can't sit at home anymore. We have to go out. We have to change the deen. Now is a craze. Have to go out. Even those that have parada, Hazrat Wala says, those that have parada feel nice, a license for me to leave my house. I mean parada. So it's a license for me also to come and serve the table. The brother-in-law is there also. I can serve him and talk to him. I got a paradown. That's what license. That is why they say the Sahaba, brother will come and see us. They'll ask, where are the Muslims today? What have they done to the deen that we left behind for them? It's finished. There's no protection of the deen. So the entire effort is being made. And we can see the amount of effort that's coming into our country, into our society, that take the woman out. Many a man doesn't like it. He doesn't want the woman to go out. But how do I tell my wife she can't go out? That's another challenge. Worse than that is a man that wants to take his wife out. Now the sports you mentioned, the certain type of tennis they are playing, couples playing couples. Inna lillahi. And now we're making dua, Ya Allah, give us baqi. Ya Allah, give us jumu'ah. Allah, give us, inshallah. We can't stop making that dua, but we have to take hold of our society right now. Which way is going? What's going to happen to our daughters? They're going to get used to this type of culture. Whereas the place for the woman is in the home, and as they say, don't shoot the messenger boy. I'm only passing on the message. This is Quran, this is Hadith. وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ They must stay within their homes. If they have to leave with their mahram, with their men, how to dress, what to put on, how to cover yourself, no perfume, no type of jewelry that will attract attention, no high heels that will make a sound. This is all in the kitabs. Who is saying this? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect my deen, I will protect you. I will give you honor and izzat. Not only in this world, in Qiyamah also. I will honor you in the day of Qiyamah. Otherwise, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prophesied also. There will be women that will emerge from the homes, kasiyat, that they will be dressed, but they will be naked. There will be ma'ilat, mumilat. Ma'ilat, they will be inclined to men, and they will make men inclined to themselves also. They will not smell the fragrance of Jannat. They will not smell it. They are leaving the home dressed to kill. Perfume, jewelry, flashy cars. No parda, even parda also, but so attractive parda. He said, prophesize all of this. This is going to happen. They be dressed, but not dressed. Tight-fitting clothing, body shape, or see-through. We're playing sports, we're going to the gym. All this comes in the riwayat. So we have to take heed. We have to take heed. Allah protect. But it's getting worse day by day. And we're here in this school, and that school, young girls becoming pregnant, sometimes in Muslim schools also. How is this happening? How is it happening? The incidents that are coming around, what is happening? Allah Ta'ala protect us. But we're going to take stock of it. We want the protection of Allah in our country, we have to protect the deen of Allah. It's as simple as that. We have to protect the deen of Allah, to protect our eyes. This protection lies connected to every limb of our body. Protect our eyes, very important. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, clear in the hadith. ذَعَنُ اللَّهُ النَّازِرَ وَالْمَنْزُورِ إِلَيْهِ Allah Ta'ala's curse upon the person who looks at haram, and the one who's been looked at. That woman who's dressed up to be looked at, and the man who's looking at her, Zakim Sahib would say, Achi tara suno samajlo. Listen carefully, understand. When he's looking at her, and she's being looked at because she's dressed up scantily, he says, Upar se lako champul utar rahi hai. There from the skies, Allah Ta'ala is sending down upon you 100,000s of sandals hitting your head right now. You're getting hiding. Your rosy is closing up there. That deal is closing up there. That property is going to go soon. That one there is going to burn down. Carry on looking. Carry on looking. Then the car is going to get hit. What's happening in my life? What's happening in my life? Then all the videos on my phone. Every time we're uploading and downloading, then he says, Upar se aa rahi, it's coming. The champal is going to hit you. The champal is going to hit you. You know when you were young now. In our homes we had WMDs. Weapons of mass destruction. Whether it was a villain, whether it was a champal, whether it was a father's stick or something like that. But it came. But Allah Ta'ala said, don't fear. Allah Ta'ala's stick is silent. We're doing it silently, Allah's stick is silent. You say, how come this avenue is not opening up? What's happening? What's happening? And what's worse, ulama say, when the avenues open up in spite of haram, you say, how are you going to catch the rat? You put the trap there. Finally, when you caught him, then you squeeze him. Then you feed him to the cat after that. They say, same thing. Allah will open the carry on. When I'll catch you, I'll squeeze you. Then I'll squeeze you. Then we'll say, then the people saying, what an empire he had. What an empire. Don't know what happened. These are the things. The protection of the deen of Allah. These simple things, parda, hijab, our women, our children. The schools they're going to, what they're listening to, what they're viewing, what they're talking. Segregation, parda in the home, etc. Going out. The sports is becoming like a culture, like a religion right now. And the amount of money they are pumping into it, millions and millions of dollars, they say just to attract the Muslim youth away from the masjid. Take him out from the masjid. He mustn't go. And if he goes also, he's going to discuss the scores. As I says, you can sit on the masjid wall outside and discuss who will be chosen for the team. Nobody listening to you. But now, as I mentioned to you, there's something called some virtual soccer or something, I can't remember the name. Where? Huh? Fantasy league. We make some money or something like that. People, if you choose the right team or whatever it is, fantasy league. It's a fantasy. Nobody is listening to you. But they go to you, it's stuck in this world. It's stuck in this world. He says, check your Yasin Sharif. Do I know my Yasin properly? Do I know my Quran properly? My Qaza namazas. To prepare for my maut. Just last week we had janazah. How many more already this week? A young son, Azadul, 21 years old. From measles to pneumonia, passed away. Left behind a young wife and a child. Just like that. Things we never thought will happen. Few boys going on a keno. Keno toppled in Roshni somewhere. Only found the boy's shoes and his clothes. Nothing else. Cape Town, this morning we got an incident. Sheikh Nabil, one of the mashayikh, his son and his nephew, just finished his few weeks ago. Hijacking, both were shot in the head in the car. Youngsters in the 20s. Never knew the janazah will come out today. Never knew the janazah will come out today. Two youngsters from Cape Town. Just happening like that. Things we never heard before, now we hear it. It's like nothing shocking now. Nothing shocking. How much I can protect the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, now is the time for me to commit to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the sins in my life, Allah ta'ala give me tawfiq to get rid of it. There's evil glances, looking at haram, taking the curses of Allah. People are afraid nowadays. Some people, some messages, my mother cursed me. My rosy is going to close. Ma, what I must do? Say, ma ki dua, jannat ki hawa. Mother's dua is like jannat. Now mother cursed me, father cursed me also. What I want to do? Allah ta'ala cursed you. That's not serious. Looking at haram. Looking at all haram things on the phone. Over the live also. Getting involved in haram things. Declaring war with Allah by taking interest. That is not afraid of. But my mother cursed me. Finished. My life is over. So put things into perspective. Keep Allah Ta'ala happy. Fulfill the commands of Allah. Protect the deen of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Is that simple? Protect the deen of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect all our affairs in this worldly life till Jannat al-Firdaus. We think that the police, guards, our relatives or neighbors protect our lives and wealth. However, in reality, this is not the case. These are only asbab and means. Yes, we don't negate the means. We don't negate the means. Allah ta'ala has given the means. The means are there. But Allah ta'ala's qudrat, Allah ta'ala's power of protection is not linked to any of the means. That only if you have the means and Allah will protect you, no. That is just for your itminan. Just for your satisfaction, Allah Ta'ala said, permissible. To make tadbir, is it against tawakkul? To plan, is it against trust in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? Yes, you plan, but you don't put your trust in the asbab, in the means. The means are there, no problem. We have to adopt the means. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, iman like he is now, he didn't need the means. He's ill, he's sick, he said, I don't need the means. I'll make dua to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. His iman was at that level. Yes, we adopt the means. But with Bismillah, with Durood Sharif. Take the medication, Bismillah, Durood Sharif. Because the medication also is muhtaj in need of the shifa from Allah. He took the same medication, I took the same medication. I got more ill, he got better. But same medication we both took. Same diagnosis, doctor told us, prescribed the same thing. But my headache didn't go away, his headache went away. So that even medication too is muhtaj in need of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make tadbir, we plan, set against tawakkul, but we don't trust the means. We still trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Protection is only from Al-Hafiz, Jalla Jalaluhu. As soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises his protection, thieves appear and steal wealth, murderers kill, irrespective of the number of guards and sentries present around the person. We carried our du'as also. But when taqdeer comes down, the riwayat says, when taqdeer comes down, and Allah Ta'ala lies going to test his slave, and even the malaika step aside. So we can't even trust what we are reading to. The trust is only in Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah puts the effect in our du'as. But Allah says, I will test you. You read your du'as, you read your fajr. But when they see taqdeer coming down, then the malaika step aside and now they understand that now the test is on for him. Is he going to flare up? Is he going to get upset? Is he going to turn towards the asbab? Is he going to increase his dunya involvements? I took a loss here now, so I'm going to give more time to dunya. Or is he going to run to Allah? As we mentioned now, when the knock came, the boy fell down from the bicycle. He ran to the domestic, he didn't run to his mother. Mother is waiting for him, he ran that side. Mother said, He didn't look at me. He ran straight to the helper. Imagine how she'll feel in her heart. Allah says, you ran away from me. I said, a little bit test for you, and you ran away. You didn't come running to me. There was a time for you to run to Allah, to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala gives those periods of time, open time, where you can score big time. Now is the time to run to Allah. Something you lost, yalla inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Imagine Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, when her husband passed away. When her husband passed away, and then she made a statement, where will I get a husband like mine? I'll never get married again. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sent a message to her. Tell her, read this dua. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khluf li khayran minha. There's three, four ways you can read this dua. That, oh Allah, reward me in my calamity and grant me something better than what I had. But she thought to herself, read this dua. Where can I get a husband like what I had? But she read the dua. She spent her iddat. And finally, the proposal came from who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah gave better than the husband. On one dua. Allah will give it like that. So Allah said that, given you all these mechanisms and all these things around you, read the dua, turn to me, come. What I will give you at that time, you won't get when you're flying high. When you're down and now you turn to me, then I will pull you up that high. How many great kings have passed, were sitting in 45 palaces, were killed by their own guards? You know this? Happening all the time, by their own guards, by their own country, by their own government, they're being killed. These were those same guards who protected them for many years, with great effort and love, even risking their own lives. What led to these guards becoming their murderers? How do kind servants become killers? How can a father who sacrifices so much to nurture his child eventually be the cause of destruction of this very child? Where has his day and night protection, love and affection gone? This proves that behind them there is another force at work. When this is lifted, all other means become redundant. What's the force of protection? It's only Allah. When Allah uplifts it, now everything else happens. Everything goes helter-skelter. And a person destroys all his past efforts. And this we can understand from these few lines, how deep is the protection of Allah. And really how we are living in it, we don't even realize it. To what extent Allah is taking care of us, every step Allah is taking care of us. Many a time we just trip sometime in the gutter, over the pavement, legs it's twisted, you think it's broken. Allah just held it then, just in time it did. Child fell from a multi-story building, nothing happened to him, came back walking up. Happened a few times, we heard of incidents where the child fell down, came back walking up. What happened? Nothing. But he fell down. Allah protected him. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah, for us to protect the deen of Allah, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We were discussing this beautiful bayan of Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi in regards to the treatment of anger. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would say, more or less, that these women overpower, talking about his Azwaj Mutahharat, the blessed wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that these women overpower men who are kind. These women overpower men who are kind in nature, but men that are ill-tempered and possess bad character, shout, beat and fight with their wives, overpower them. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I'm not like that. I don't shout, I don't beat, I don't fight. We have to come to learn that in certain places, husbands beat their wives on the first night to create fear in their hearts and to control them. Some places now. Somebody goes to his friends, he gives him nasihat, advice. They don't let your wife wear the pants. So first night now, you must tell her who's the man. Astaghfirullah. What oppression and ignorance is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us hidayat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَوَحِبُّ وَنَكُونَ كَرِيمًا مَغْلُوبًا. I prefer to remain kind and gentle. Do I be suppressed with regards to my wives, they overpower me. وَلَا أُحِبُّ وَنَكُونَ لَئِيمًا غَالِبًا. I do not prefer to be ill-tempered and overpower them. It's not my character. And the beauty is in the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, women are from a crooked rib. Look, although our ribs are crooked, are we not benefiting from them? If we will try to straighten them, they will break. Hadith Sharif says that وَكَسْرُهُنَّ talaqun. He says if you try to straighten them, you will break them. And breaking them will result in talaq. You can't straighten it. Allah Ta'ala made it like that. But with their crookedness also, Hazrat says, imagine how much they're still doing for us. How they're running the home, we can't run it so straight. Allah Ta'ala has made their mind like that. When he comes to the house, when he comes to the children, when he comes to the ironing, alright, our head don't work. The pair of socks, we can never find it. I tell you, it's there in the drawer. Won't see anything. She'll come and pull it out. Oh, it's right over there. I didn't see it. But he's so intelligent. He's so sharp. But she knows how she's running the house, running the kitchen. Leave you one day with the children, you see. One Sati was there with his child just for one afternoon. He said it was enough. Took him out to play a little bit, then left him by his granny after that. It was enough for me. Made my tarbiyat. Couldn't handle it. And the mother is there day and night with the child. Day and night. How she manages it. So Allah Ta'ala has given her that talent to produce the men of the Ummah and to take care of them. Not to go out in the business into the corporate world and to challenge them. She's dropped her status. Her status is to produce the men and to make their tarbiyat, to nurture them and send them out. And she's making her jannat. But now, the Western culture is take her out. Take her out. You see? And drop her status. And we know what's happening out in the world. Whether they be in the businesses, whether they be in the offices, how they're being abused, how they're being handled, how they're being charmed, how men treat them, etc. Is there a place for them? Life then will become enjoyable. Similarly, with our wives, we should treat them with love, kindness and mercy. Life will then become enjoyable. As the Thani Rahmatullah Ali says regarding the man whose wife added excessive salt to the food she prepared for him, he did a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will forgive her, Allah you forgive me. Through this self-training, many have attained miracles. The miracles of the awliya are true. Karamatul awliya haqqun. To deny the miracles performed by the friends of Allah leads one to kufr. Of course, the awliya, the friends of Allah, cannot perform these miracles of their own accord. This is very important. This karamat we talk about. Whatever karamat a wali of Allah has to do, is that on his own strength? It's by the permission of Allah. He can't do it. Now people get deceived. That this sheikh can do this and he can do that. He's flying on the carpet. What a wali he is. As Hakim Sahib will say, even the fly is flying. But he don't say he's a buzruk. He's flying better also. So flying doesn't make you a wali of Allah. Even these yogis are doing it too. Walking on fire. They're doing all fancy things. All shaitani power behind them, so to say. That doesn't make you a wali of Allah. If yes, there has to be some karamat that a person is doing, that is by the permission and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it can't be by his own power. And when it came to Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, their miracles are called mu'ajiza. It is called mu'ajiza, and anyone besides the Nabi does anything against the norm is called karamat. So Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala allowed them to show mu'ajizat, miracles. That miracles were shown to the people to influence them, convince them to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to believe in the Nabi, that he is true Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Of course, the awliya cannot perform these miracles on their own accord. These miracles take place through them, the awliya, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills it. Karamat is not the doing of the creation, but it is exclusively the work of the Creator. Now, Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has explained that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned the veracity of karamat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam goes on to explain karamat of a wali among the Bani Israel. A pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the Bani Israel once asked a man to lend him 1,000 coins. That man asked the saint to bring a witness to the transaction. To this he replied, Kafa billahi shahida. Allah is enough for me as a witness. Allah is my witness. That you are giving me this money, I will return it. The man again asked him to bring forward a person to stand surety on his behalf so that in case he does not pay up, the money could be demanded from the one who stood surety. To this the saint replied, Kafa billahi wakila. First one he said, Kafa billahi shahida. Allah is enough for me as a witness. Now he says, Kafa billahi wakila. Allah is responsible and stands surety for me. On hearing this, the other person said, you have spoken the truth. And immediately gave the pious man 1,000 coins. The pious man took the coins, crossed the river and completed the work for which he had borrowed the coins. Finally, the due date of death arrived. When he reached the river bank, he became worried as there was no boat to take him across the river. Anxious to fulfill his promise, he thought of a plan. He made a hole in a log, placed 1,000 coins into it, knocked a nail to secure it, and put it in the water to float across, placing his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sent the money across like this. He made dua, Allah, let the coins reach their owner. The winds could have changed direction and steered the log elsewhere, but this was a miracle whereby they reached its rightful destination. He made tadbir, he made a plan, trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he sent it ahead. The creditor was waiting for a boat to deliver the buzruk, the pious man, to the bank of the river. Suddenly he noticed the log floating towards him. He picked it out of the water, thinking he would take it home and use it for firewood. When he hit it with an axe, the coins fell out with a note which read, "I could not get a boat in time, so I am sending your coins in this manner, putting my trust in Allah." So afterwards, the buzruk, on finding a boat, also arrived. He brought another 1,000 coins with him, just in case the first 1,000, which he had secured in the log, had not reached the owner and were lost. The owner said that he received the coins and explained how he found the log, what had happened. The buzruk returned very happily with his 1,000 coins, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this miracle. It shows you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqwa, he protected the commands of Allah, he returned the money in time. And how he reached that buzruk also. How he reached the other person. Showing you that you can make a plan, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how that money will reach. We had many incidents like this before. Our Kabir said they were in India also, and they had currency in the trunk of the car. They got off the car and they forgot it. Went back to Jalalabad. Then they realized that they were in Bombay. They forgot the money. Where are you going to trace the taxi in India? Ya Allah. They're looking for a fly there. Where are you going to find that fly? But somehow they found and that person found it also. It was a large amount in those days, over 100,000 or so. He says Allah Ta'ala preserved it and we got the entire bag completely like that back. Many times it happened like this. Allah Ta'ala preserved it, took care of it. To the extent, Hazrat mentioned some years ago too, in Afghanistan, where a journalist went and he asked him, "What's this Islamic law you'll want in the country? They're talking about security, safety. We have it in our countries." He says, "No, Kaluna, we have it here. We have it here." He says, "Show me proof." So he took $1,000, if not mistaken, put it in the bag, and he left it at the bus stop. And he walked away. So the person, journalist, white, European, said, "You're leaving money here." He said, "Don't worry. Don't worry. This is an Islamic country." He said, he returned the next day, the same time that he had left it, the bag was still there. Nobody touched it. He said, "This is Islam. Allah protects it. You protect the commands of Allah, Allah protect your wealth like that." So this is impossible in our country. That we leave a bag, I mean our country also. Leaving it outside, leave it in the house. There he said he left it in a public area. Allah Ta'ala protected it. Allah protect our iman and amal, inshaAllah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum ana jalisu man dhakarani. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله تعالى شأنه الله 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 Allah, 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 Jalla Jalalu. Allah, 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 Jalla Jalaluhu. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، سلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Brothers, I encourage also in regards to our Istahi program will be next week. Next weekend, inshallah. Yom al-Jum'ah, Yom al-Sabt, Yom al-Ahad. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Istahi Jalsa will take place in Azadul. The bus will be leaving also. Brothers are taking flights. Brothers are going by cars. So once in a year program, I don't know how it will change my life. Spend some time in the company of the pious. So make some qurbani, some sacrifice. And come away. Brothers can come in from Friday, Jum'ah, Saturday also. Even to come for one program also. People are going for one match overseas. And they're coming back. So we can go for at least one program, invest in our akhirat. Allah doesn't look now at how much you're going to spend, Allah looks at the quality. He just gave you one program. What reward you will get with your sacrifice and your qurbani that you're making to come for one program, Allah most probably will give you more than the people that came for full 3 days. Because each person knows how much qurbani he's making. I only came for that one program, I could make it for that program. How much you will get on that, Allah will give you more than everyone else. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, only came to Medina Munawwar in the 7th year Hijri. He stayed only 3 years. Only 3 years. But who doesn't know him? Compared to other Sahaba that were there from the beginning. But in 3 years, how much he took from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most amount of ahadith he narrated. In 3 years only. The sacrifice qurbani he gave, he came in 3 years, stayed in Suffa, never had food to eat every day, and give his life there. So on his qurbani, Allah Ta'ala gave him only sacrifice. So we make the little sacrifice. I come a bit early. Aage piche, make some plan with the work, whatever it is. This is an opportunity for me. So make the sacrifice, bring the qurbani. Bring our friends, bring our relatives, nephew, brother, whoever it may be. And we mention also we have some workers that have some shock and desire for deen. Put them in the bus. Send them, let them go for the program at least. Allah Ta'ala give us topic understanding, inshallah. Subhanakallah.